October the 3rd, 1863, Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation. That proclamation came 3 months to the day after the bloodiest Civil War battle to ever take place on this continent. It was the Battle of Gettysburg. But the proclamation had nothing to do with the battle. The proclamation was the first Thanksgiving proclamation, that is, making Thanksgiving a national holiday. There was a woman that had written to him. She was an editor of a newspaper. She was 71 years old, and she was encouraging him to do that. And so he did. And as he wrote the proclamation, if you go and you look it up, you're going to find that he acknowledges some things. He doesn't ignore the fact that all around them there's a great carnage going on in the country and that the Civil War is decimating both North and South. As a matter of fact, he acknowledges the magnitude and the severity of the war. But he also points to something else. He points to the blessings that this nation, even in the year that was probably the bloodiest year of the Civil War, the blessings that this nation was enjoying. And I want to share with you an excerpt from that proclamation. Here's what he said. "No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy." 1942. This nation was engaged in World War II. Probably one of the most difficult years. Many of our young men fighting on two different fronts. And yet that year, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt issued Proclamation 2571. Proclamation 2571 was a proclamation that designated the fourth Thursday of November from that point forward of every year as being Thanksgiving Day. But he did something that no other president had done. He quoted Scripture. He quoted the 23rd Psalm in that declaration or that proclamation. You can look it up because here are the words that he uses to introduce it. He says, I recommend that all of us bear in mind this great psalm. And then he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest before me a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In our scripture reading this morning, what Billy shared with you just a moment ago, and I want to draw your minds back to Psalm 103 and the first two verses there. I want you to notice what David writes. David wrote this psalm, and here's what he said. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let all that is within me bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits." Have you ever blessed God with your soul? With the deepest part within you? Does your thanksgiving, not just this weekend, not just today, but every day that you're alive, does it flow from a heart that is truly grateful for what God has done? I want to share with you something else. There is a hymn that Ray has taught us, and the chorus to that hymn goes like this. "I will bless Thee, O Lord. I will bless Thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless Thee, O Lord." It's easy to remember to thank God, isn't it? On a week when everybody is thinking about Thanksgiving. Of course, I know that once you get beyond Thursday and lunch or supper, everybody's thinking about, okay, the store's open at 6. We've got to get the buys in. It's Black Friday, and then comes Cyber Monday, and then who knows what else after that. But, you know, for a point in time, not just this week, I want you to stop, take a breath, put everything out there out of your minds for just a few moments this morning. I want you to think about what you're thankful for in this life. Some of you have a husband or wife sitting beside you. I hope that when you leave this morning, you'll look at that person and look in their eyes and say, you know, I'm thankful that God gave you to me, and I appreciate you. I hope you'll take the time to look at your son or your daughter and honestly from the heart say to that child, you know, you're a gift from God, and I'm thankful that God provided you in our lives. I'm thankful to have you in my family. I'm thankful to call you my son or my daughter. And young people, I know this is tough, but I hope you'll look at your dad or your mom when you leave here today, and I hope you'll say to them, you know, I know it's not cool to say this, mom or dad, but I love you, and I'm thankful that God gave you to me. Let me be born into your family. Are we thankful? I mean, really deep down thankful? We pray those prayers, don't we? We thank God for our family, and we thank God for our friends, and we thank God for our good health, and we thank God for our gainful employment. We thank God for the roof that we have over our heads. We thank God for the food that we have on our table. And we can go on and on. Now, a lot of the material blessings that we have in life, we're constantly thankful for those. But this morning, I want to direct your minds to something else that I want you to be thankful for. Especially if you're here this morning and you're a Christian. Because the blessings that you have as a Christian, and pardon the pun, but they're out of this world. And you can't put a price tag on them, just like you can't put a price tag on your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife or your mom or your dad. You can't put a price tag on them. You can't get enough of it. But it's something that God has done for you. There are things that God has blessed you with, and in no way this morning will I, in the short time I have, be able to cover everything. I'm just going to take five that I'd like to share with you this morning. There are so many things. Just pick up your scriptures and read. And if you go back to what we just read, what we just saw in the psalm that was read for us, we thank God for His benefits. We thank God for His loving kindness. We thank God that He's taken away our iniquities, and on we can go. But I want to draw your minds to some things. And the song that we sing, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. So what is it? What is it that we thank God for? I am thankful that I have a God who loves me. And I hope that you're thankful that you have a God who loves you. I think we've grown up hearing John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But let me share with you a couple of other passages. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, what you have before you on the screen. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, that atoning sacrifice. Or Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us so much that when we were His enemies, when we were sinners, when we were estranged from Him, He sent His Son to die for us. We're talking about the God who created the heavens and the earth. We're speaking about the God who simply speaks and things come into existence. We're talking about the God who, as Paul says in his discourse with the philosophers on Mars Hill, there in Acts chapter 17, verse 25, is the one who gives to all people life and breath and all things. This is the God who loves you. Who loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. How much do you love Him? And do you stop and do you say, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you would consider me and redeem me and extend to me the gift of your salvation. Which brings me to our second one. I've been redeemed. And in my mind, there is a song that I used to sing on church buses 35 years ago. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. saved with the Holy Ghost I am. And we used to wear that one out. But I've been redeemed. Peter puts it this way. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. He says, knowing that you have been redeemed, or you were not redeemed, excuse me, with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but, he says, with precious blood. Precious blood. And he says, as of a lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. You know, there are a lot of things in this world that we place value on. We like silver and gold and all of these things, the precious jewels that we could name. But what Peter is saying is your redemption took something that is not material in the sense that it's what we use to purchase things with. Your redemption, the fact that God bought you back to Himself from what Peter calls your futile way of life, that way of life which has no future toward it, no ultimate eternal benefit. He says, you've been bought back, but you were not bought back with things which tarnish, with things which perish with use. You were bought back with a price that was beyond estimation. It was the blood of Christ Himself. Why? Because God loves you. And because God loves you, He redeemed you. As Paul would say over in Romans chapter 4, verse 7, he makes this point. He says, blessed are those whose lawless sins have been forgiven, or lawless deeds have been forgiven, and whose deeds have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not take into account. David knew this because he's quoting from David. We are blessed. Folks, we're blessed because our sins have been covered, and the Lord will no longer take those sins into account. Do you know that the day you put Christ on in baptism, the angels in heaven rejoiced over you? They were rejoicing because you came to Christ. You were redeemed. Satan had lost his battle in your life, and you had been brought back. But now the question is, as we think about this, will you thank God for the fact that you've been redeemed? Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul and making me whole. Do we do that? Do we thank Him? But then there's another one. Not only did God love me, not only has He redeemed me, but I'm thankful that God is at work in my life. You see, the thing I know is that God didn't just save me and then say, okay, you're on your own. Go try your best to make it up here because I'm not going to help you anymore. No, that's not the way God works, folks. It's not what Paul meant either when you look at what he says in Philippians chapter 2, there beginning in verse 12. He says, so then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For God is at work in you. Let me say that again. God is at work in you. Let me say it again. God is at work in you. Why? Paul says both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do you realize that? God does not want you to be lost. If you're a Christian here today, God is at work within you. Why? Because He wants you to be redeemed. He wants you to be with Him eternally. He doesn't want you to slip up. He doesn't want you to fall away. He wants you to be with Him. And He's doing everything that needs to be done to help you. That's why Paul would say on two occasions, one in Philippians chapter 3, the other in Colossians chapter 1, that it is His Spirit that is strengthening your inner man to help you. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21, the writer there refers to the God of peace. And then he tells us that that God, our God, is working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. God is working in you that which is pleasing. I think I say this, and I believe you would agree with me. Folks, I want to spend eternity with my Father. I want to be with him. And I believe you want the same thing. I believe you want to be with God. I believe you want to be in the presence of all those who have gone before us. I believe you want to see those angels. I believe you'd like to speak to our Lord and say, thank you for giving your life for me. But doesn't it strengthen your faith? Doesn't it give you great hope to know that God is at work in you to accomplish what he desires in your life? Does it not make you want to just stop and say, thank you? Thank you for taking the time to be involved in my life. Thank you for working within me to see that I, as I strive, am faithful. I love you for that. Does it not cause you to say, as David, let all that is within me bless his holy name? Here's another one. I am thankful that I don't bear my burdens alone. You know, life is difficult enough, but to walk alone in this world, to feel that there's nobody by your side, that there's nobody caring for you, nobody that is worried over whether you make it or not, nobody concerned about your struggles, I can't imagine what living a life like that would be. And I can promise you this, as I look back in my own life, there's no way that I would have made it through some of the things that I have encountered were it not for the fact that God has been with me and God has watched over us. In Psalm 55, verse 22, we find these words, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. And also, another one you're familiar with, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, where Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. And notice this, casting all your anxiety upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Folks, life has more than enough cares and burdens to wear us all out. And if there's anything that Satan wants you to believe, he wants you to believe that no one cares for you. Nobody is concerned about your life. That's the message he keeps trying to implant within you, that you're totally on your own in this world. And yet that's not the message that God is communicating. God is saying to you, you're not on your own. You're not alone. I'm with you. Remember that 23rd Psalm, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. I don't walk alone, folks. You don't walk alone. No matter where you're at in your life, if you're a Christian, you don't walk alone. If you're at the twilight of your life, if death is near for you, and I don't know, and I pray that it's not, but if it is, know that you don't face it alone. As the psalmist says in Psalm 62, verse 2, he only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. But then let me share with you one last thing. I know that the peace of God is what guards my heart and my mind in my Lord. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, which, by the way, was written from a prison cell, and if you go back and you look at what Paul endured in his life, the beatings, the imprisonments, the shipwreck, everything he went through, and if anyone had a reason to be anxious, it would have been Paul. And yet, what does he write? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And what? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace. It doesn't mean the absence of turmoil in your life. It doesn't mean the absence of tribulation. It means that even in the midst of that, there's an inner peace. The whole world can be in turmoil around you, but there is an inner peace that God gives to you. And it guards your heart and it guards your mind in Christ. In Christ. Do you hear that? It's in Christ. It's for you if you're a Christian. We go to God in prayer. Life weighs us down, and yet what God says, I'm giving you peace that surpasses all comprehension. It guards your heart. It guards your mind. And it comes from God. And like I say, there are so many things we could add to that this morning. But folks, if you're a Christian, you have so much to be thankful for. You have so many benefits that God is providing for you. And I dare say that if you sit down and you look back over the path of your life and you look at the things that you have gone through in life, you can see various points throughout your life where God has been at work, caring for you, bringing others into your life when they were needful. Do you ever stop and say, Lord, thank you. I missed those. I didn't see those before, but I do now. Thank you. You know, I get up in the morning, and sometimes when I go outside to get in the truck to come to the office, and I see the sun, and I see the beauty of the fall and everything around it, and I just stop for a moment, and I say, Lord, thank you for letting me see this today. Thank you for letting me see what you've created. A couple of weeks ago, I went home on a Wednesday night, pulled into the drive, looked up, beautiful night, not a cloud anywhere, stars everywhere. And I stopped for just a moment. I'm kind of reminded of David in Psalm 8. And I look up and I see all of those stars. And I said, Lord, thank you for letting me see your handiwork tonight. It's beautiful. Do you thank God? Do you thank Him for all of His benefits? Do you thank Him for the answers to your prayers? If not, don't you think it's time to start? This morning, there are some of you here that you can't pray these prayers of thanksgiving because you're not yet a child of God. You don't know what it's like. You can know what it's like to have a God that loves you because He's still reaching out to you through His Word and through His Son. He still wants to redeem you, but you've not been redeemed yet. He wants to work in your life, but you haven't yet let Him do that because you haven't yet come to Him in obedient faith. He wants to bear your burdens, but you want to continue carrying them right now. Please stop. Listen to what Jesus said. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Won't you do that this morning? Won't you come forward this morning confessing the name of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, believing that He is God's Son? Won't you come forward this morning willing to repent of your sin, turn away from that which has kept you away from Him for so long? Won't you come forward this morning and say, today, I want to be baptized. I want to have my sins washed away. I just want to be your child, and I want to sing your praise. If that plea is one that you need to respond to, then why not right now, as together we stand and sing.